who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter, the first 17 verses, after which the form for the administration of holy baptism will be read. Let us sing first from Psalter 348, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, with joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there. And bow before Him there. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 348.
Congregation, before we read God's word, let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We'll read on John 13, verses 1 through 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash mine feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not mine feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Now know ye what I have done to ye, to you. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us now together also read the form for the administration of holy baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesses and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished, often obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him, love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testified with these words. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the holy, in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children therein when they call, when they shall arrive to years of discretions. Thus far.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory and to our comfort and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them and by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 213. And the third stanza, let children thus learn from history's light to hope in our God and walk in his sight, and the God of their fathers to fear and obey, and ne'er like their fathers to turn from his way. The third stanza of Psalter 213.
Yeah.
I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Mitchell Busicum? Mr. and Mrs. Brendan DeYoung, Mr. and Mrs. Jan van Hagenbos. Dear parents, baptism that is, as we have heard, an ordinance of God. And it is a sacrament of initiation. Thus, it is in that way different from the Lord's Supper, because the sacrament of baptism that speaks about an entrance, and therefore that is performed only once in the life of a person. The Lord's Supper, and that is a sacrament of nourishment that is necessary to be performed time and again. The sacrament of baptism, that is the ordinance of God, wherein a person enters into the church. That is, that by this sacrament, that your child that becomes a member of the visible church of God, not by confession, but by baptism. However, that sacrament that is pointing to what is necessary for your child to become a member not only of the visible church, but of the invisible church. Or does this lay now in your heart? That both you and your child may indeed be a member of the invisible church of God. What is necessary for that? Blood. Blood. That is the sign that will be placed upon the head of your child. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Then there is a second thing, that is the application of that blood. The application, that is that for which we have besought the Lord for your child, that he would incorporate them into his Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore that water that is not enough that it is placed upon you, but it needs to be placed upon them. Then it is so personal. Then it needs to be given to us, and it needs to be given to our children. Oh, what is our desire for this? Because in this sacrament, the Lord also declares a promise. A promise that He will do this. Say, is that to every child that is baptized? No. No, but it is to those who are within that visible church of God. To those who are, even in this manner, according to His institution, dedicated unto Him. That is what you do in this morning, even as a henna, when she brought that little Samuel before the Lord to dedicate him. And then now in this day, then you say, Lord, this is thy gift to us. And now we dedicate him, we dedicate her unto thee, to bring him up for thee, not for the world. May the Lord remember you and strengthen you in that vow and that you have made and give to you. He knows our weakness. He knows our frailty. He knows that we are dust. Oh, beseech Him. Say, Lord, give to me now what I need to fulfill it. And wilt Thou indeed, oh, wash and cleanse me and my children with Thy blood. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to arise and to sing a Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Serena Ricky, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jared John, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matea Carey, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they may then acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise Thee and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents, that they may be enabled by the power of Thy Holy Spirit to perform that vow which they have vowed before Thee and before the congregation. O, in the midst of Thy house, Lord, Thou knowest all that lives within their hearts. Thou knowest that it can be that there is such a mountain time and again, because every time again, when we bring our children before Thee and make this vow, oh, then we are in a full sight of all our shortcomings. Oh, then it is that we do feel more and more how that we are unable to fulfill that which we have vowed. O Lord, who knowest that we are dust, all we ask of Thee, give them a place by Thee in their inner chambers. O, make it to be a daily burden, that they may receive grace within their own hearts in the first place, that they may receive that faithfulness and that wisdom to do according to Thy holy word, and that these, their children, that they also might learn to set their hope in God. Oh, look upon the grandparents. Thou knowest also each and every one of them. Oh, then it may be for the gladness of their hearts that they may observe in this day that their seed may become members of that visible church. Oh, give to them that they also have learned to pray. May later children and grandchildren at Thy throne of grace continually. Oh, give also in the midst of Thy church that what is the profit of Thy sacraments, even in this hour, that there may be an expectation and a supplication and a sigh that goes up unto heaven this day, that Thou wouldst fulfill that which Thou hast promised, that Thou wouldst work in Thy seed's seed, in the future generations. O Lord, Satan, he goes about
as an angel of light and as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And in the youth and the children in our days, especially under his attacks, oh, could it please thee, then to fulfill what thou hast promised. Oh, thou art the faithful one, and thou also hast the power to do it. Oh, could it be that we may see here and again, even in the midst of us, our little children and our youth, that are not able to go out after all the vanity of this world. Oh, that receive a tender heart, a tender conscience before thee, and that do fear to sin, and that may sorrow over sin, and that may also look upon to thee, the God of their baptism, and say, Lord, oh, wilt thou also wash my heart? Wilt thou wash my soul? Oh, wilt thou also give to me that which thou hast given unto my fathers, unto my forefathers? Lord, wilt thou remember us in this day when we are together under word and sacrament? Oh, then it is necessary when thou hast given life in the midst of us. Oh, then it is necessary that thou would also give food and drink, that the meek might eat and be satisfied. Oh, we beseech it of thee, Lord, that thou may give to us what we need to bring thy word this hour. Oh, that thou may have made room also in the heart of this one or of that one, that there may be a need that is burning in the hearts in this morning hour, that must be fulfilled by thee, a prepared place for a prepared word. Oh, that thou may remember all that are not able to gather with us. Be with all the afflicted and all the sick ones. Also, her that lies still in the hospital. Supply for her in all her needs, which are great and many. And also our brother elder who is at home. Lord, wilt thou grant him his health and his strength once again. And wilt thou look upon all that suffer, all those that mourn, widows. Widowers and those that are orphans, supply for all the needy. Look upon us, Lord, we beseech thee in this hour, forgiving all our many sins and coming with the presence of thy Holy Spirit feelingly and believingly in the midst of us for the glory of thy name. For the upbuilding of thy church amongst young and old together. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Let us sing from Psalter 143, stanzas 1 and 3, while your offerings are being received. The last collection today is for our school. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me, and thy abounding love blot out all my iniquity. And what follows in 1 and 3 of Psalter 143. Congregation, the words of our text for this hour you can find in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, John 13, and thereof the verses 8 and 9. John 13, verses 8 and 9. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So far, the words of our text. An indispensable washing. First, an humble, proud refusal. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Second, a precious instruction. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Third, an earnest supplication. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Thus, an indispensable washing, first an humble, proud refusal. Second, a precious instruction. And third, an earnest supplication. Thou shalt never wash my feet. We say an humble, proud refusal. You say that is contradictory. Because if it is a humble refusal, then it is a proud then it is not a proud refusal. And if it is a proud refusal, and then it is not a humble refusal. Those are things which are opposite. They cannot dwell together. The congregation, and then we had a struggle this week. What do we call it? Is it a humble refusal? Thou shalt never wash my feet. Or is that now a proud refusal? That is a paradox. Spoke a little of that last week. It is a paradox because what is living in the heart of God's children, that is a paradox. Because there is in them not one man, but there are two men. Because there is in them an old man and there is in them a new man. Thus we have another paradox. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Where does that come from? That comes, congregation, in the first place, out of the deepest reverence and the deepest respect for the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of Peter. Because to wash the feet, you understand, that is the work of a servant. Then Peter says, O Lord, wilt thou do the work of a servant unto me? Then Peter, he cannot bear this. And then Peter, he wants to refuse it. We know that Peter, he loved the Lord dearly. He could call heaven to witness. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And there is no one in the whole world for whom Peter had a more deep reverence and respect than the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that his flesh was weak, but his spirit was ready. He was willing, he says, even to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. And We know that Peter, that he has also testified who the Lord Jesus was, because he says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. O congregation, that is grace. Grace in the heart of a man that is going to produce the deepest, the most profound reverence and respect for the Lord, for his house, for his day, and for his institutions. That is a mark of grace that humbles before the Lord so deeply. Do you also have that mark? That mark of humility? That is a mark that a person cannot observe in himself. Because as soon as he sees it, it is gone. That mark of humility, that is a mark that God's children, they carry on their back. But it is evident in their life. Abraham, oh, see, children. See how Abraham approached the Lord. That was a child of the Lord. And how do you approach the Lord? When you fold your hands and when you close your eyes, then Abraham, he was so reverent. He says, Behold now, I have taken it upon me to ask of thee, to approach unto thee, to pray unto thee. Who am but dust and ashes? What a respect, a reverence that was living in his heart. Oh, Moses. Oh, then the reverence that he had for that name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And here Peter, he says, Lord, no, that cannot be. He says, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Oh, if only we saw such reverence, such a respect in our day as we can read in the Holy Word of God. We see it going, congregation, just the opposite way. Then man, he brings the Lord down to his own level, as if that he is one with them. And then everything that has to become more casual in the praying, in the preaching, in everything that has to do with the Lord. As if then we are then so familiar with God. No, that is not a mark of familiarity with God. It is just the opposite. That is a mark that we miss something. That we miss the very, very beginning, the foundation of that work. Thou shalt never wash my feet. We say an humble refusal, and so it is, because that is coming out of the work of grace in the life of Peter. And yet, congregation, there is more. There is more. There is something deeper. Do you believe that, young people? Do you believe there are things which are deeper? Or did the Lord ever begin to show to you what lives now deep within your heart? Peter is a child of the Lord. Peter is a man who has been taught, who has been instructed by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. But do you know what Peter needs? Peter needs more instruction. It is a wonder if we may receive the beginnings of instruction. that instruction which brings down our lofty pride, that instruction that begins to humble us. But do you know what God's children need? Then they need further instruction. Because we need not only to be instructed that we must be saved, but we also must be instructed how that we must be saved. That is the desire of the people, but that is something that is so hidden from them. And now that instruction, how that we must be saved, that is a further humiliation for the people of the Lord. A further humiliation. Why? Because with all the instruction, that people do not even realize that there is a certain pride that is living so deep within their heart. That is actually from paradise. It is actually a denial of the depth of the fall. A denial about how deeply we have fallen. There is still a retaining of something. A retaining of what? It is a retaining of an ability. An ability. And the Lord must instruct His children that this ability that is gone, completely gone, and the Lord will instruct them in His own time in such a tender way, and in an effectual way. And we want to see that in our second thought. A precious instruction. Thus, where do we read that? Well, we can read that instruction in the rest of the verses that are following here. So after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." A precious instruction. About what? About how that they must live in this world, because He is leaving. Where is He going, children? He is going into heaven. And then He is going to leave. And then He will instruct His disciples how they must behave when He is gone. That is the love that He has for His church. And that is not only His disciples. No, but that is unto the end of the world. How that they must wash the feet of one another. And then He has left for them an example. Oh, how is it with us? In this outward thing, that the Lord may give to us that grace that we may indeed wash the feet with one another. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Peter, he stood in the way of that instruction. He said to the Lord Jesus, no. Oh, that is what we do. We stand in the way. And then, did the Lord Jesus allow that to continue? No. No. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And then Peter, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And now Christ, he can continue, and he can give that instruction unto his disciples and unto his church, how they must behave. Is that all? Oh, congregation, that is not all. No, there is something more. There is something much more. Because there is in here a spiritual instruction, not only for an outward behavior, but also for an inward behavior. That is instruction for the soul, not only for his life, but also for his soul. Young people, we live in a so-called Christian world. That is a blessing. Fearfully becoming more and more Muslim. But that Christian world that we are living in, when we observe it, then we can see that it is based upon a foundation of civil niceties. John Bunyan, he has written in the Pilgrim's Progress about the city of morality. And that worldly wise man, he says, just go there. Then you will be relieved of your burden. City of morality. This is the foundation of the religion of the Christian world in which we are living. You must be nice to one another. You must love one another. There in that city is Mr. Legality and his pretty young son, Bunyan says, Mr. Civility. Thus you must be civil. You must be kind. Must we? Certainly. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you indeed. Oh, may it be seen, may it be felt among us. But, oh, if that is all, you ever feel that, young people, in our Christian world? That is all. That is all there is. That is now the foundation. But if that is our foundation, then we miss something. No. We miss everything. Then we miss the substance. Then we need not only instruction for this life. No, we need instruction for our soul. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Peter. Do you know what Solomon says? He says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seemeth right. That seemed right to Peter. It seemed right. that he would refuse that Christ should wash his feet. Thou shalt never wash my feet. What? No, it is just the opposite way around. I should wash thy feet. That was a way that seemed so right unto Peter. And now there is a way that seemeth right also to God's church. It seemeth right. And especially they say it is a right a way that seemeth right unto that young church. The young church. Then, that is a church that has desire to do everything for the Lord. I will follow thee whithersoever that thou goest. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will not know a wicked person. I will lay down my life for thy sake. Oh, where does it come from? All that comes from love, that comes from desire, that is a fruit congregation of grace, because we have not such desires living in our heart by nature. By nature, then we have desires after this world. By nature, we also have religious desires that are all for the fulfillment of our conscience, for the settling of our conscience. But there are no desires after God. There are no desires after His Word. There are no desires to live according to His commandments. There are no desires to please Him. Oh, all these desires, they are coming out of they are the fruits of that grace that is living, that is burning in the heart of that young church. Oh, then they would serve Him, and then they would love Him, then they would obey Him, then they would never displease Him. And do you know what they do not want? They do not want to be served. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Oh, they say that is too low for the Lord. That the Lord should humble Himself to wash my feet. Thus, out of that respect, the Lord Jesus spoke about His suffering. He spoke about His death. Peter said to Him, "Nay, Lord, nay, this shall not be unto thee." And now, instruction. Oh, the precious instruction. What did the Lord Jesus say to Peter? "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." What do we read here? "Thou shalt never wash my feet." And now the instruction. "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, "I came not to be ministered unto, but I came to minister." To minister. "And to give my life a ransom for many." O Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. That is now that instruction that is so necessary, especially for that young church. And that is now the instruction that is also so precious. Oh, God forbid that we should offend one of those little ones, one of the least of these, because they are the little lambs of the flock of God. And the Lord, he says, feed my lambs, or that we may never be among those shepherds that does beat those lambs over the head with their rod, because those lambs, they are tender. Those lambs, they have a very tender conscience. Those lambs, they do not want to displease the Lord. Oh, those lambs, they are very tender in that relation that there is between God and their soul. We can read in God's word of the bride, the experienced bride. She is actually jealous of those little lambs. And yet, all those little lambs, they need to be instructed. They need to be instructed in the way of salvation. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Oh, a great humility in it, yes, but there is something more in it. There is something much deeper in it. There is in it a denial of the depth of the fall. Oh, they need to learn something. What is it? If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What do they need to learn? Oh, they need to learn they cannot wash themselves. They need to learn that the corruption that is going too deep, it is too deep. They need to learn that the flesh is weak. The flesh. That is, the spirit may be willing by the Spirit of the Lord, but it is so impossible because their flesh is weak. If I wash thee not, no part with me. No part with me. Because the Father, he cannot accept what you do. Though it comes out of the work of grace, though it comes out of love, though it comes out of desire, oh, it cannot be accepted. But with me, he is well pleased. Let us sing. 417, the first stanza. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. Oh, let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. Stanza 1 of Psalter 417. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. David, congregation, he says that the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. So it is experienced. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. All that is by the instruction of the Spirit of the Lord. And the more that people are instructed by the Spirit of the Lord, the more that they say, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh, there comes a time that old covenant's power is taken away. Is taken away, and that all the work of that people that is cut off. That is, that with all their labors, then they do experience that they remain what they are. That is corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. That all their efforts that is not able to change that miserable and that wretched heart, that is wounds, that is bruises, that is putrefying source. All my righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. O congregation, there must come a time and that old covenant that is losing all its power. And it is the Lord who must bring us to this. Because that is not merely in our intellect, but it is experienced, it is lived out in the life of that people. Oh, the Lord can show us in a moment. Can show us in the moment. He is free, but that takes often many years. Young people, there is a reason that the Lord says in his word to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And the Lord is free, then he can convert us in the last moment. But there is so much instruction that is necessary in the life of God's children. And that takes place over time, but it is taking place in the time. And now the Lord, he is bringing them to an end of all their efforts. And then the Lord is opening their eyes. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. O congregation, there is in it a cutting off from every other way. This is the only way, Christ says, the only way. If I wash thee, and if I wash thee not, then there is no other way. Then thou hast no part with me. Oh, the Lord then opens their eyes. He opens their eyes to see that way, that only way of him who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, how sweetly then does the Lord invite that people. He says, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." Oh, then how sweetly the Lord is drawing them. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. O congregation, then that deep-seated pride that is living in the heart of that people, then that is broken. That pride that is denying the depth of our fall. That pride that is still hoping in the efforts of man. That pride that is still rejecting the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that says, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Then it is broken. Then it is broken. And then they begin to supplicate unto him. All their heart begins to go out after him. After him alone, who was able to wash them. Then they say, O Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And because I am filthy, from the crown of the head unto the sole of my feet. Oh, then for that people, or if it does not come from the side of the Lord, then it is impossible. Oh, that is the people that begin to love that sovereign, one-sided work of God, because that old covenant, the power is now broken. Oh, the Lord, he is going to receive congregation all the honor and all the glory, and his church, they are going to receive the benefit. Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh, are there also as such people in our midst? We may be witnesses in this morning of that holy sacrament of baptism, that sign and that seal of the covenant of God. What does it say? It says that where sin abounded, grace that did much more abound. A sacrament that is greatly to the comfort of a people that say, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Is that now also, parents, living in your heart in this morning hour, when that water that may be placed upon the head of your child, oh, may it be for you, may it be also for your children, and for each one of us, congregation, oh, children, if our children would be converted, parents, if those little children, so many of them here, if they would now be converted, what would live in their young hearts? Or maybe something that does not live in our own heart. Do you know what would come in there? "Thou shalt never wash my feet." That is what will live there. Because that is what lives in the heart also of God's children. That is now what we bring with us and what we carry with us through this world. Then they will be instructed. Or they will be instructed in the time of the Lord concerning that only way. Oh, what a wonder if that may come forth out of the mouths of our children, out of the mouths of our young people, that may say Father, that may say Mother. Oh, what the Lord has shown to me in this day. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Oh, no part, no part, no part with him. Outside of that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how they shall then yearn. How they shall long. Oh, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh, what a comfort also. And that baptism that shall become to them. Why? Why? Because there is the sign of that blood. Oh, that blood. The efficacy, the power of that blood. One drop. Oh, Mother. Oh, Father. Could I have one drop of that blood to be applied unto my soul also? Oh, then it is necessary in baptism that we need to be all the way in the water and all the way out. Oh, it is a symbol, yes. But what did the Lord Jesus say? Oh, he that is washed needeth but to wash his feet, and he is clean every whit. That is now the power, congregation, of one drop of that blood. Oh, to be clean every whit. Oh, may the Lord bless his word and his sacrament to the upbuilding of his church, young and old together, and to the comfort of those who say, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do open unto us our sin before thee, because one day it will go open. One day we will stand at thy throne, and there the books will be opened, and every sin from the days of our childhood that shall be laid before us. O, open it unto us in the time, for there is a yet blood, and wherein we can be washed, and wherein we can be cleansed. Oh, we beseech thee, remember thy covenant. Oh, may it be that we may see it here, also in this, our own flock, that we may see true conversions, and that the work of thy Spirit, that it may be so plain, that it may be so evident, experienced in the heart and lived out in the life. Give us a humble heart. For all that thou hast given in this morning, bring us safely to our places and with desire again in thy house. In this afternoon, others in this evening, we ask it in the name of thy dear Son. For Jesus' sake, amen. 419, the second stanza, a mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, wilt purge my guilt away. The second stanza, or if necessary, we can go to the third stanza for the collection of Psalter 419. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.